Okay. Everything we've been studying in this series called The Gift has been leading up, actually, to this moment. An exercise to prepare our hearts, our gifts, really, so that we can be positioned to receive the greatest gift of all. And that's why we come into the Christmas season, and I don't know if you pray this, but I pray, Lord, I want to understand Christmas better this year. Give me more. I need to get past the commercial, the noise, the fussiness. I just want a moment with you, Lord. And you know, I pour for the last about 10 years at least, maybe probably longer than that. I go through the Nativity story in the month of December, and I pour over those verses from the Gospels. I rip it apart, baby, that text. I go into etymology. I look at every cross reference. I want to know the verb declensions. I want to know the phraseology. I tear it apart because I say to myself, this year, I'm going to break the enigma code of the Nativity story. That's my ambition. And every year, the Lord does give me something fresh. And he'll give me the emphasis of the season in a phrase. But I got to tell you, I have not broken the enigma code of the Nativity. The Nativity story is still just as powerful and wonderful to me as it was when I was 5 years old. And that's the mystery of godliness, I guess. I've come to the awesome conclusion, it's just too big for me. And I'm okay with it. Lord, just meet me wherever you want to. I position my heart. So in all the preparation, we come to the place we lay down our hands, still our hearts, and come to that pure and vulnerable moment where we receive. And for some of us, it's a lot easier to give than receive. It is hard for people to just receive. We don't actually like to be passive. Sorry. We're all having a little difficulty this morning getting it together. Okay. You know, some of us, even at Christmas time, there's a Herod spirit afoot. You know that Herod recognized that wise men came. He said, why are you here? What are you doing? And they said, well, the Messiah is being born. A king is being born. And of course, we know the story that Herod said to them, well, when you get the lowdown, come back and tell me. Not because he wanted to worship the king, because if he really did, he could have got on a camel with them and gone down to Bethlehem. And, you know, there's lots of Herod's spirit afoot. And it's just one of the things we navigate. It's not that Jesus, doesn't come to everybody, but he just isn't received by everybody. So we don't want to be double-minded. We want to come in the right spirit. Every good gift and every perfect act of giving comes down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variableness nor shadow due to turning. The ultimate and perfect gift of Jesus, God himself, come to us. So we're going to position our hearts. Let's look at some key verses. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 1:1-5 and 14. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Say it with me, full of grace and truth. And, you know, I've said it before, but in case you lost track of it in all the hustle and bustle, Jesus is the great gift of God. Jesus is the great gift of this season. He's the place where the power and the wonder and the miracles show up, and all the rest is just glitter. He is the desire of the nations. He's the thing you are most longing for, whether you know it or not. This is the season to esteem him as our most precious possession, our most precious gift. So I want to look at this morning the gifts of God to you in Jesus. And of course, we're going to have some broad categories here because there's a lot of gifts. So your salvation is a free gift of God, paid for by Jesus. And the reason that we can even give and receive the way we can is because of his redemptive work. Jesus has already bought it and paid for it. And we're just giving the gift. We're his agents to give that gift of love. Nothing will ever equal his gift of himself. It is bestowed on all humanity without charge, without condition, without prejudice, without peril. His gift of the cross opens the door to reclaiming every other gift of your life, God intended, as well as the entire realm of spiritual authority. It is a complete and finished work to everyone who will humble themselves and receive it. So, John 1, 10 to 11, 16, he was in the world and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace or grace upon grace. Ephesians 2:8, for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the free gift. Grace unlimited. Grace upon grace. From your fullness, Jesus. The gift of work. You might not have thought of it that way, but Ecclesiastes 3:10 to 12 says, I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice, to do good in their lives, and also every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And you may not have thanked God maybe recently for your work, but it is actually God has a purpose for you. He has a tasking for you. He wants to anoint you in it. He will anoint you in it. And it's going to be more than just toil, more than just laboring. It is an assigned place that the Lord has for you to be fruitful and to be ushering in the kingdom of God into that place. So, the gift of destiny. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And even in the book of Luke, in the Christmas story, in the song of Zechariah, he says, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Don't think you could say it better than that. It's pretty good. The gift of work. Have any of you ever received a promise or a prophetic word from God? You've just been reading along in the scriptures and something leaps out at you and you say, I think the Lord's talking to me. I think he wants to give me that. There's some highlight on that. What you're really receiving is a word from God about a gift he wants to give you. He's giving you back your identity, your destiny from the foundation of the world. He's describing the way the Anointed One and his anointing wants to come into your life in a certain direction and work. And if you have had this happen and you embrace this word and let it have authority with you, it will begin to shape every direction you take. Every decision you make, every consideration you weigh, every desire you entertain. It will begin to conform your life to the will of God and radically exterminate every other factor that would vie or compete against it. You've come into contact with a very powerful force. You will never be the same. Neither were the Jews. Even through the darkest part of their history, the living word would not let them go. A prophetic word is not a comfortable word. It can bring comfort, but mostly it initiates change, which is never predominantly comfortable. The Jewish people were pregnant with the promises of God. They may have felt abandoned, driven into the wilderness through their own rebellion, like Hagar. They might have been taken captive by the changing winds of fortune, moved like a pawn around on the great chessboard of world politics. They may have suffered generations of deep perplexity in the taint of idolatry, cultural mixing, but they were still carrying the promise of the Messiah. They were carrying Emmanuel. They had destiny. So that brings us to the gift of Emmanuel. Isaiah 4:7-14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And actually, you can even literally in the Hebrew, with us is God. Different emphasis slightly. This is the name and nature by which the Messiah will be identified. Do you remember the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus? And how Zacchaeus heard their big crowds were gathering because Jesus was coming into Jericho. And Zacchaeus, although he was kind of shunned by the people, he said, I want to see this Jesus. And so he climbed up into a tree. And all his expectation that day was, is Jesus going to come down Main Street and I'm going to get just a good look at him? I doubt he was thinking that the Lord would stop at the base of the tree and look up at him and say, Zacchaeus, call him by name. Say, come on down because I'm going to your house for tea. I don't think he was expecting that. And you know, that's the difference between with us is God. You're not just part of the crowd. He knows you by name. He's coming to you. Different emphasis. He is with us in our weakness, with us in our failure, with us in our insecurity, with us in our double-mindedness, with us in our selfishness, with us in our emotion, with us in our fears. We simply don't know, nor will we ever, the conversation that took place in the house that day. But we do know it had a huge effect on Jericho. Jesus may have visited only Zacchaeus, but the whole city received the blessing as this formerly crooked traitor became a faithful servant and repaid the city and blessed the city. That's what happens when we understand. That's a change that happens in us, that when we understand we're not just Christians, we're just not just part of Camrose Community Church, but the Lord is with us. He's with you, Shannon. He's with you, Doris. He's with you, Al. He's with you, Rod. It's personal. With us is God. Emmanuel, come back to the touchstone. He comes to us not in criticism, pride, scorn, judgment, but in grace, gentleness, lowliness. He's near to the brokenhearted, the crushed. Wherever life defines you this season. In whatever dark passage you may be moving through, let this final truth comfort you. God is with us, with you. Any way it comes out, we still win. Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth and even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That word has never lost its power. It's vibrating with energy and will as much as the first day it came out of the mouth of Isaiah. That word is humming along with us. This time of year, there's a phrase that gets bandied around the advertising industry, and it is the perfect gift. We want to give the perfect gift. And that, you know, Christmas can just be a season for some very competitive games for one-upmanship, even if it's unspoken, because everybody wants to give the perfect gift, have the perfect party, look amazing, create some kind of mythic storybook fantasy of a perfect life and a family life that's perfect, and quite frankly, it simply does not exist. Scripture also talks about the perfect gift, and it's referring to one thing and one thing only, Jesus himself. He's referring to Emmanuel. Let's just look at our touchstone scripture again. Every good gift. Read it with me. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's always God's will, as he looks at you in mercy in the stage of life that you're at, to give you what you really need. Even when you don't know what that actually is, and you might not even want it. His heart is to give you. He sees what you really need, what is the most pressing thing in your life to set you free. And he would just love to give it to you. Our Isaiah 9 scripture tells us that the government is upon his shoulder. What that means is what God starts, he maintains. He finishes. It's by his energy, his motivation, his instigation. He started it. He will finish it. The yoke of your life is upon him. He's carrying the weight of it. Are you letting his government, his governing, his lordship increase in you, that peace may also increase? Proverbs 10:22, we know it. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Remember our baby elephant story? Some gifts, even given with the best of intentions, can become burdensome to us. The Lord doesn't give gifts that become burdens. When he gave us Emmanuel, we got the package deal. We got all things that pertain to life and godliness, the gift that just keeps on giving. So let's just look at these various components of Emmanuel that we can see in our previous scripture, Wonderful Counselor. And I want to just provoke our thinking this season. These are his names, and maybe this is some of the way the Lord will come to us. Wonderful Counselor is the first word. The word wonderful is pele in the Hebrew. It literally means a miracle, a sign, or a wonder. Specifically, it's talking about the acts of deliverance, kind of like the Red Sea parting, you know, the plagues of Egypt. It means what is unusual or extraordinary, astonishing. Maybe the wonderful counselor will come in the form of some kind of amazing, penetrating advice, a breakthrough plan, a powerful new thought that you had, an effective decision, a fresh strategy, clear direction. Could be a life-transforming word. Whoa, Lord, you're just reading along and all of a sudden it jumps off the page. Wonderful counselor. There he is. Seeing a prophetic word manifest before you after a long season, the wonderful counselor takes it from the spirit realm and your faith brings it into the natural. I'm believing for some big things in 2026. 2026 is coming in hot. I'm telling you, the prophetic words I've been getting and the way things are lined. I've got January lined up. I'm not even there yet. It's coming in hot. Maybe he will come to you in this office as a gift to your mind or your will. Not just yes or no to a question, but an understanding behind it. The moral reasons, the way, why has God done a certain thing a certain way in your life? Have you ever had one of those breakthrough moments? Something that's happened to you that you've wrestled with for 10 years and all of a sudden you just see it from a different direction. You go, oh, God. Thank you. I needed that answer. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's the wonderful counselor. He does stuff like that. So powerful. I love it when he catches me on the blind side. Woo-hoo! And you know, you try not to be an intellectual Christian. You try not to have to run everything through your mind. And if you can't make sense of it, then you can't believe it. That's not really what God is looking for. But he does give us those moments when he answers the intellect. Mighty God. The word mighty here is the Hebrew gebor. Gebor. It means the hero or the champion, kind of like the story between David and Goliath. You pick the best of the best and you send them out into the Champlain, from which we get the word champion, the land in between two armies. And instead of armies mass killing each other, just the champions will fight it out. And whoever wins, the other army decamps. That's Gibor, mighty God. That's the idea behind this word. Someone who stands out even among the warriors. It can mean a tyrant, giant, taskmaster, a bold, audacious, self-aggrandizing, outstanding one who excels. A double portion of strength and boldness. You know, in Revelation, Jesus is described as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this little Gibor, he's also the strongest of the strong. You can write that one down on the hem of his garment too. So Jeremiah says, the Lord is with me as a dread champion. I love that in the King James. He's going to challenge and take down the fears that loom large in my life. I got some stuff I'm not quite on top of in the fear category. Gibor is going to show up over there. Because the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Where can you receive that fresh in 2026? Where do I need a visitation of his strength? Where can he take down a giant or a tyrant in my life? Where is he my knight in shining armor, as described in Revelation 21? Where do I need rescue? Am I my own worst taskmaster? Do I need rescuing from myself? Somebody needs to reshuffle, rework my schedule a little bit because I got myself in too deep? Where do I need him to fill my life with boldness, conviction, or stimulate me to take action? Ooh, sorry, we got some visuals here. Wonderful counselor. Mighty God. Will he bring to my life someone who excels? Somebody who's outstanding in their field, an expert who could advise, mentor, or introduce me into a place I need to be. I always ask God for an inside man. Lord, when I'm facing something, I have got a task I don't know how to do, and all the iron gates and brass bars are shut in front of me. I say, Lord, I need an inside man. Send me help from the sanctuary. That's mighty God. Everlasting Father. Literally translated, Lord over time. Where do I need fatherhood restored to my life? Will Abba cause a cleansing and healing over my past, my parental history that's still hindering me today? Do I understand that the Lord can literally redeem time that is lost, wasted, years of poor decisions, impossible conditions, squandered beauty, youth, energy? You will recover all because he is your Redeemer. I know my Redeemer lives. Are you going to let him into that place so he can redeem it? Ooh, man, he can do some stuff. Let's watch him. Will he give me a vivid revelation of protection, cherishing, or how he is my faithful benefactor? Will he show me he is my defense, as David says many times in the scripture? My shield, my buckler, my high tower, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Everlasting Father, come on down. Hallelujah. Will he show me he's my hiding place in the storms? Do I need refreshing destiny words that will help me refocus and refresh my effort someplace I've lost heart? Do I need a fresh adorning of words, encouragement, the way a child gets when they crawl up into their daddy's lap, love and honor with some divine clout behind it? Will he enable me to feel precious and valued again in all the places of rejection or censure I've experienced? Where do I need to find rest in his sovereignty? Just crawl up into his lap, be still, and know that I am God and you are mine. Prince of Peace. This year, Jesus is going to show himself the top ruler, commander, 4-star general, chief of my life. What is that going to look like? You know, the definition of shalom, long and short, Shannon just gave it to us a couple of Sundays ago. But the short version is nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Shalom, peace, safety, completeness, ease, soundness, well-being, health, favor, tranquility, contentment, friendship. Can I stand with the captain of the host, Jesus, as we look over the boundary of 2025 into 2026, into the new land, and ask for his leading and breaking ground ahead of me? I need a strategy, a 4-star general with military maneuvers to guide me, navigate me through difficult job situations, taxing relationships, family politics, you name it, he's there. Prince of Peace. I need his favor for reconciling difficult or strange relations and to restore family, friendly relations. I need his superior prioritizing over my schedule and life balance because I got myself tangled up. He will show me where my satisfaction really is. What's the thing that really makes you happy? Thought about that lately? How satisfied are you? Paul said, I've learned to be content, abased or abounding. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you there? I need him to show me how to be a better ambassador of reconciliation, quick to share the gospel everywhere I go this year. Lord, restore wholeness, soundness in me in the places where it's lacking, in my conscience, my mind, my body, my memory. Where am I carrying condemnation? Where am I carrying fear? Where am I intimidated? Do I need help, a healing in my emotions? We can see through this passage that the ideal of Emmanuel covers a lot of territory. Extensive. We need to be on the lookout for how the Lord will choose to manifest himself. And it won't just be one category. God has already given us the perfect gift. The question that faces us is whether or not we will choose to receive it. Whether we will choose to receive the way Jesus wants to be working in our lives to give us what we really need according to his priority. Am I surrendering to that? Or am I still telling the Lord, I want this and I want that, and please help me here? Are you really listening to when he replies, I'd like to start over here? Are you open to that? The question is not, will you get the perfect gift this year? The question is, will you receive it? Will you receive him? Can you receive from him what he knows you really need? You know, when I was little, my dad was killed when I was 4. So I was raised in the house of a widow. My sister was just barely 1. And so money was a little tight in the house of a widow, especially at Christmas time. But my mom did her best to make it special. And one of the things that she would do year after year is buy a box of Black Magic chocolates. You know, the Black Magic with the flanged edges and the little red tassel. And, you know, if you've ever even gone into the drugstore today to buy a box of chocolates, you got to think twice about it because they are not cheap. But Mom would make sure that we had that little extra treat. And you know, as I got older, I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to continue that tradition in my own little single girl household. And I would go and I would look at that and think, oh, do I really want to pay that for that box of chocolates? But sometimes I would. And then I'd take them home, open it up. Well, you know how it is with a box of chocolates. You read your little legend. And you, if you're being honest, you probably like about half of them. You don't like all the different kinds of chocolates in the box. I love the nuts. I love the nut clusters. I love the hard caramel, the hard chocolate and coffee stuff in nougat in any form. But then there's like the orange, the strawberry nougat, and all of those. Well, by the time you're done, you know, you only want half. And so I was like, what was the big deal about the chocolate box? And as I thought about it, the Lord said to me, it wasn't the chocolates. It was the feeling that you had when that special treat, that sacrifice that Mom made for you guys to have that chocolate, break that chocolate box open, and you get the first pick out of the box. It was the feeling you want to reproduce. You know, sometimes the wrappings can fool us. It's the feeling behind the gift we really want, to feel special. And you know, the Lord used that little funny thing to say to me, if you trust me, I'll give you what you really desire, not what you think you want. It may not come in the package you're expecting. Open your heart and trust me, because I know exactly what you want. That's the impossible paradox of the Nativity story. The most precious gift came wrapped in the humblest of circumstances, the diamond in burlap. And if we can hold on to that thought, that it's the humility of Christ and the humility of the season that positions us to receive the things that we really want, the things we really need. when we keep receiving these gracious, immeasurable gifts from the Father of Lights, and we give them to others, Emmanuel is going to be with us in ways we can't even dream of, we've never understood before. The kingdom will truly come. God's will truly will be done. The true power of Christmas is the decision to surrender myself to Emmanuel, to really open up my heart, unguarded, obedient, see what happens. See what that wonderful counselor will do with me. And I pray that this revelation of Emmanuel be very powerful to you as you move through the changing colors, changing demands of the season, that he will be first and foremost the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the finish, the bulk in the middle, and you'll have a fresh visitation of his presence. That the government of his sovereignty will just keep increasing in your life. His peace will be real and tangible, and you'll just be heavy with it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the gift of salvation, the gift of work, the gift of destiny. Most of all, Lord, just the gift of Emmanuel. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. And help us to see and understand when you come to us in the humble way and receive the King. And I just pray a blessing over my brothers and sisters, over whatever challenges they face, relation-wise, family-wise, finances-wise, health-wise, as they look into the future. Father, I pray you will crown the year with bounty according to your word, that every one of the promises and prophetic words you've spoken over individuals will crush their way into the last, whatever it is, 10 days, 9 days of December, and fulfill this year for your people. I just pray. I've got faith for it, Lord. Crown the year with bounty. I say it to you every year because I believe you do not want your people to miss the blessings you have for them in a certain time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Be with us. We need you so, Lord. Amen.